I think we can all say God is real. I pray we can. For me, he's real.
Amen.
And I think we're here today because we believe he's real and that he's in our soul and that we believe in him. That God is real. Appreciate the singing, prayers, and everything so far we've done in the worship service. If you're visiting with us, you're a very honored guest of our audience, and we're thankful to have you with us. John chapter 13 is where we're going to be studying from on this morning, continuation of our study of the book of John. Hopefully you're enjoying this study. I am so much enjoying it myself. It's good to learn. You never know too much. Amen. And to be able to study this book, I've learned several things that I had not considered after studying the book of John. Amen. And you add God's word to your heart, it'll make a difference in your lives. A happy Father's Day to the men who are fathers. Amen. This man that sit this side today, we get a little attention. Amen. I got me a new Apple Watch. I'm gonna be sporting that thing. I feel good about that. Got Sharon jealous. She said, I ain't got one. I said, that mean I got to go buy them. I got to know what I got to do. I know exactly what I got to do. Yeah, but while I'm on her, I just ask you all to continue to pray. We do have some challenges ahead of us yet with her health. And we know this, God is for us. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 13. For I have given you an example. In verse 1, he says, now before
the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come,
Jesus knew
that he should depart out of this world unto the Father.
This is very important. He knew. This is, I mean, he had full understanding of what was getting ready to happen in his life. In this hour we talked about there a couple weeks ago, his hour had come. He's very knowledgeable of this hour. And was come that he should depart from the world. By the world unto who?
The Father.
Jesus is on one day away from dying. He's on death row. I like to think of it like this, that this is his last meal before his death. He knows everything. He knows that Judas going to betray him. He knows they're going to beat him, and he knows what it feels like. He was God. How traumatizing that must be. And we'll see when he gets to the garden that he'll actually be crying because it's so troubling. But he understands once he do this, once he does the Father's will, he'll be back with the Father. But he said, having loved his own,
which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
He's talking about the men that are with him. He's going to pray for them, but not for them alone. Chapter 17, he's going to pray for them. But now he's loved them, and he's having his last meal with them, called the Passover supper. He loved them, and he's going to give them an example of what kind of leader he was.
Amen.
These men will lead the charge of Christ after his death and carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. But there's something he needs to teach them before he leaves. Mm-hmm. The last few moments with his disciples are golden moments for him to teach them some things that they need to understand upon his departure. Verse 2, he said,
and supper being ended,
the
devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him.
So now, the devil put it into his heart. Drop down to verse 12, but this is, Jesus had got up and went around the table, and he had sat down again. Verse number 12 says,
So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and washed and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you?
So now he's did everything, and he sat down again. This is what John records, that Judas was going to betray him. The devil, Satan, had already put it into Judas' heart. The devil had planted the seed that the devil was working on Judas' heart to betray Jesus. But let's understand that the devil has no power to influence us or to come and possess our bodies and make us do anything. It was the mind of Judas that gave in to his covetous and greed to have money. That he gave in to the devil, temptation. Was he tempted? Yes. Did the devil make him do it, as Flip Wilson would say? No. There is no justification for saying the devil made him do it, and the devil don't make us do nothing.
Amen.
We choose to do what we want to do in this world.
Amen.
That's why we call free will agents. God allows us to make a choice between him and Satan. Listen to Matthew's account of Judas in Matthew 26:14. He says in Matthew 26:14,
then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot.
One of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. Went unto the chief priest and said unto him,
what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you.
If I give him to y'all, what I'm going to get out of it? Watch him what he said. And they
covenanted with him for 30 pieces of
silver. They made an agreement with him. We'll give you 30 pieces of silver for this guy. And from that time, when
he
saw
an opportunity to betray him,
he was looking at a way to make money. He started plotting. Just like we do. When you want a sin and you want something, you'll figure out how to do it. Listen to it in Mark's account, Mark 14:10. Look at Judas, what Mark says about Judas.
Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he saw
that they promised to give him what?
Money.
The root of all evil is money, right?
Right.
No. The root of all evil is the love of money. It's not the money. Money is not the problem. It's when you love money more than God. That's why many people don't give right. Because they love their money more than they do their God. I hope you don't think you can go to heaven like that. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And you shouldn't let your money drive you to lessen the value of having God in your life. God cannot give us. He give us life. He give us breath. He give us water. He gave us his only son, and we cannot outgive him. But however, he do not want us giving grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves who? A cheerful giver. So you shouldn't have to beg Christians to give to the Lord. They should do it from their heart as cheerful givers, such as the program we have now. Allow us to go above and beyond it, to sacrifice and give something to God. That's what the Casting and Sowing program is all about.
Amen.
It's about you making a decision. Do you love money more than you do your God? Because if you do, you're no different than Judas. He sold his soul for the money. And I'm convinced that many Christians do not give according to their purpose in their heart. They do not give according as they prosper, rather. They give the leftovers to God. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about time and sacrifice and living. Presenting your body to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, a daily service. It's not just what you put in the plate. It's the time you give him to serving him and carrying out the commands of the Lord. That's what a giver is. Amen. And Judas wasn't a giver. He was a taker. And many of us are takers in life. We take from God. We want blessing. We want. But we don't give. You say, well, the prosperity preachers, how they do it? They motivate them. They motivate them. They motivate them because they want them to think that God put as much value in money as they do. Well, you know what? God, look at money. It's meaningless. Vanity, vanity, said the preacher. Meaningless, meaningless. No dollar will save you from dying. No dollar will get you into heaven. It means nothing. It didn't cost God. What cost God was the death of his son. Amen. For mankind to be saved, it didn't cost them money. It's the love of money going to cause many, 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 many Christians to be lost. They'll be favored the morning service. They'll be favored the evening. But when it comes to the plate, they ain't going to give right. So, brother, how much you give until it hurt? You make it, feel it. You ought to feel it. Not grudgingly, nor of a necessity, because God don't want it. Amen. If you're necessity giving it. You ought to give because you love God. Amen. Amen. You ought to give because God gave. Do more of that tonight, afternoon. The poor widow, she cast in all she had. She was the one that God got Jesus' attention, not the rich folk with the big bun and money in there. It was the poor one who gave more. You say, well, Brother Brooks, why are we on this? Because love of money got him in a whole lot of trouble. Amen. That's why I'm talking about Judas. And Satan, they entered the hearts of many members who don't give right. They won't give right. You put a dollar in this week, you put a dollar in next week. You know you can do better than that. You just don't want to. No, you don't. You can do it on your way out. Make sure you change your mind. Repent. Amen. And tell him, Brent, give me an envelope. Let me get my stuff right. I know God has been too good for me to be stingy. Amen. Give up a hamburger or something. Give up one of your Budweiser's or one of your cigarette packs. Amen. Wow. Give up some of that stuff ain't doing you no good anyway. You know, some folk got this mentality, they ain't giving up nothing because you're selfish. It's all about you. When it's about God, you give it up. Amen, somebody. Amen. Judas got himself in trouble. The love of money got him in trouble. They're plotting against God, plotting to betray the Son of God. Look at Luke's account, Luke 22 and the verses number 3. Then enter Satan and Judas, surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12.
And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad.
They were glad.
And they covenanted to give him money.
Uh-huh.
And he promised and sought opportunity. Right there.
He made a decision. It wasn't the devil that did it. He promised. He made a decision. When we sin, we make a choice. We have a choice. We make a decision. He promised and sought opportunity
to betray him.
Get that money. That's what he's after, the 30 pieces of silver. That's what's attracting him. That's what happened. That's what happened. Wasn't the devil that made him do it? What he mean by the devil tempted him like he did Jesus in Matthew 4. He tempted Jesus. He tempted him, but every time he tempted Jesus, Jesus came back with the word of God on him. He said, it is written. That's how you fight the devil. You got to have some Bible in you. Amen. You got to know what the word of God, and that's what's going to cause some of you. You and them kind that don't even worship, don't stay for Bible class. You ain't going to have no book in you. You ain't going to have no Bible.
Amen.
That's your problem. You say, brother, I don't want to hear it. Well, I know that. I'm not here to make you feel good all the time. Some things you just got to face. Amen. You're not faithful.
Amen.
You ain't going to get no Bible in you. You ain't going to know what to do to fight the devil. That's why he's whooping you so bad. The devil is a powerful force, man. He's a spiritual man. He's wicked. In high place, he got power. That's why he said, put on the whole armor of God, that you might fight against the wiles of the devil. Amen. He got power. He's a principal. He's a prince of this world, man. You can't play with the devil. He's a tempter. He going to carry it out. He know if money your thing, he going to keep you balling that up, putting that dollar in there looking like a popcorn because he got you then. He got you because he got your dollar over your God. Mm. Yeah, some of you young adults, y'all bad about not giving right. Young adults, why y'all, what's wrong with y'all? God done got you out of your school, college, and everything. Here you are squeezing. You want your blessing? You reap what you sow. Amen. Sow bountifully, God blesses bountifully. So sparingly, you say, brother, how you say that? God, I've been around. I was a young adult, remember? I've been there and done that. You got to learn to give. I thank God for a man named Bob Adams. Bob Adams was, I guarantee you, if there is really anyone that ever gets to heaven as an elder, he was the man in my mind. He had me fooled if he didn't. Many of y'all know Bob Adams.
Amen.
Oh, man. He was He taught me to give from right from the beginning. He gave me one of them stiff conversations. You know, I'm glad he did. He taught me from the beginning to be free for the morning service. That same day I got baptized, he said, "Now I want you back here at 5 o'clock. I said, "Huh?" I said, "Man, hold on now. Now, I ain't used to. Now, I grew up in Baptist church. We were CMEs. Christmas, Mother Day, and Easter. And then we had what we called the big meetings, where they had the dressing and fried chicken in a cardboard box in the trunks of the car. Boy, I mean, I tell you what, we didn't go in the church building at all. We just stayed out on the ground, ate real good. So we wasn't much about going to. But anyway, what I was saying was I wasn't used to that. What about what I was used to? As long as you believe in God, you're good. All this going to church stuff wasn't necessary, really. It's kind of what we was taught. As long as you're saved, once you're saved, you're always saved. As long as you got baptized at a young age, that was always in the obituaries. Oh, he got baptized at a young age. He was drunk when he got killed, but he saved when he died. Yeah, he died in a car wreck, you know, in Hempel. You know everybody. You know what's going on. He was at the club, and he left the club, and he was drunk, and he got killed in a car wreck. And go to the funeral. I can see him now up there with Mama. Lying. First of all, the preacher ain't seen nothing. Now, if that right, the book ain't right. Because the Bible says if a man die in his sins where he is, Jesus said, "Where I am, you can't come." They were lying to us, and they lying to some of y'all. I'm on FaceTime. Some of you Baptists being lied to like I was. That's not true. There ain't no such thing once saved, always saved. You got to do what God say to be saved. And you got to do what God say to stay saved.
Amen.
It ain't just the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics, all of them out there teaching that grace doctrine. And every funeral you go to, they kicking over the pews. Kicking over the pews. Ah, he gone in now. He's resting. She's resting. Not if you didn't die. If you die in your sin, ain't no rest. No, you tumbling, rolling and tumbling. Like the rich man. He was begging for some water, wasn't he? Yeah, the rich man was begging for water. And not only was he begging for water, he wanted somebody to go tell his family, "Don't y'all do what I did. Don't make the mistake I made. You don't want to come near this." Let me tell you, once we die, we know we saved, though we're not. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Bob Adams was teaching me faithfulness to God. And I was saying, "Man, ain't Sunday morning enough? I ain't been doing this much." He said, "Son, see you at 5 o'clock. I said, "Yes, sir." Came back. "I see you Wednesday." Well, Wednesday didn't come because on Tuesday he was at my door. "Hey, come on. We got to go across town to a Bible class." I said, "Oh, man, this guy here." No, he was. He said, went over to Sister Nettie's house. I mean, y'all Nettie Laws. Fifth Ward, Nettie Law. You know Nettie Law? She's still there. Sister Nettie Law's house was on Tuesday night Bible class. Bob Adams would drive me across Houston real slow because he didn't drive fast. That's one thing I didn't like about him. He drove slow and talked. All the way over there, I had to hear Bible, how to live, how to give. You know what? I look back today, and that man made a difference in my life. Amen. He was teaching me to love God. He was teaching me that. And I think we need more people like him. That'll take people on their wings and teach them to love God. But you got to love him first. He had to love God himself before he even tried to make me tell me. He said, Tommy, he called me Tommy. He said, "Tommy, you're going to be an elder one day." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to be an elder." And I told him, I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. I didn't know. And so Bob told me I was going to be an elder. He said, "I had the heart of an elder." I said, I didn't know what that meant until I got around some. I started studying what that meant. I figured out. Old man in Arkansas told me, he said, "You ain't gonna never be an elder." I said, "What?" Bob said I was gonna be an elder. He said, "You're too high tempered. I see you in the brothers' meetings." I said, "Oh man." That was his name, was Brother Charlie Hubbard. He stuttered. You said, "Brother, why are you telling us this?" Because it's about knowledge. And I told him, I said, "You'll never be able to say that to me again." You know why? I changed my mind. Amen. And one thing I work hard at is not showing anger. to other people. The Bible said, be ye angry and sin not. That don't mean you got to go to wrath and start cutting up. Amen. And that's what I was doing. I was talking back with them. You know, I mean, you're new to the church, you're new to the Bible brotherhood, and you're new to the back room. But Bob told me, he said, one day you're going to get in the back, you're going to see the other side. I didn't know until I got in the back. I mean, I got into the mix of the leadership. And that's when I learned Bob was telling me. So my point is this. There is a decision to serve God. It's a decision. If we're going to be tempted, James chapter 1, if we're going to sin, it's a decision that we make. James chapter 1, verse 13 said, let no man say,
when he is tempted, I am tempted of God.
I am tempted of God. He said, don't even say that. It's God did it. And God cannot be tempted with evil.
Neither tempt any man.
But every man
is tempted
when he is drawn away
of his own lust.
Whatever you want is what you're going to get.
And enticed.
He wanted the money. That's what messed up Judas. He wanted them 30 pieces of silver. He lusted after those 30 pieces of silver. And then he started plotting how to get them. And he had to betray Jesus to get paid. So then he says, and enticed. He was enticed by those 30 pieces of silver. And then James said, then when lust hath conceived. When the lust conceived.
It bringeth forth sin.
That's a seed planted. That's what he meant. Now, there's a seed planted, and it bringeth forth sin. And
sin, when it is finished,
bringeth forth what?
Death.
Spiritual death. So all of us, understand this, when we choose to go and do whatever we're lusting for, and it entered our heart, the sin has occurred. So as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, if a man looketh upon a woman and lust in his heart, he has sin. So Judas was in sin before he went to the supper. And we're in sin before we go through the act. It's at the point we think about it. That's why you got to add God's word to your mind or your heart that you might not see. See, when you don't have no word in you, you have nothing to fight with. Because is the temptation coming? Yes. Are we going to be tempted? Yes. But what do we do with the temptation? You got to know the word. You got to know how to fight. You got to have something in order to fight with. Trash in, trash out. If you putting trash in, like every day of the week, you listen to something, you ain't get no word in you, that's trash. Amen. Worldly wisdom won't help you listen to song 102, Magic 102. You got to get some word in you. What I did, growing up, when I first obeyed the gospel, and I decided I didn't want to be a preacher, about 3 months after I figured out that my brother had been lied to, and they didn't tell us that we don't supposed to call no man reverend. They didn't tell us we were supposed to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. They didn't tell us about the one church. They didn't tell us that there ain't no such thing wrong. Talking about once saved, always saved. When I determined that my brother never got to hear the truth, I went to preacher school. Because I wanted to be the one to tell people. Amen. So if people listen to me, they can't say they didn't know. Amen. I'm going to make sure that if I'm a funeral, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to tell them it's one church, it's the Church of Christ. You should be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We don't tithe. We don't call ourselves Baptist, Methodist, or Catholic. It's the Church of Christ. It's only one God, one church, one Lord, one baptism. That's in your book. You can't change it. It's going to be there. Amen, somebody. Baptism for the remission of sin. God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Nobody can be saved by praying a sinner's prayer. Not according to the book. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I mean, understand. You gotta get this in your mind. Judas didn't have it. Let's go back to John 13. He's spending some time on it. Because some of us want to blame the devil when he ain't at blame, is he? Mm-mm. Listen to verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus knew. He had full authority. He knew he was God. There was no question in his mind. He knew. And for us as Christians, we should know we're children of God. Not only he knew he was going to go back to the Father. You ought to know you're living where you could be saved. You ought to know you're living right. Amen. You ought to say, everyone in here should know right now if you die, if you're going to be saved or not. You know how your life, Jesus knew he was all right, but he knew one thing. I got to carry the Father's will out right now. He rise from supper.
And laid aside his garments. And
took a towel.
And girded himself.
He knows he got to die for the sins of the world. So he gets up from the table, and you got to visualize the scene. You got to see him. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. With these apostles, these disciples, who think the king, he's the king in the sense that they're going to take his place. Their mind is messed up. They think in power, they think in hierarchy, and they're going to take his place when he leaves. They're going to be the next king. But he's going to teach them a whole different lesson. He gets up on the supper. He takes off his cloak and all that without seeing that garments he had on. And this was normal when back then they wore the cloaks and the long cloaks, and they would take them off when they were running or working or doing something like that. And so he gets it off and get ready to do a duty. He took a towel and girded, meaning he put the towel around himself. And then this was the manner when he put that towel around himself. The disciples are looking at this. They know the custom. That's what he's doing. He's girding. He took all his cloak off, girded himself with the towel. And they know in that culture that the only person that does that is the slaves. See, the slaves back then, they wore sandals. And they travel by foot. So one of the things that they would do under the custom, it was hospitable and showing hospitality. The master, which was a slave owner, would call the lowest slave in the house to wash the feet of his guests. So the apostles and disciples understand that custom. And so they're looking, you got to be them. What is he doing? Why is he doing this, putting a towel on? And he took the water, and then he started washing their feet. He starts to washing their feet. And this is significant. Into the title of the lesson, I'm giving you an example. What kind of example he's giving them? Notice verse 5. After that, he poured the water into a basin. Began to wash
the disciples' feet.
Wiped them with the towel
wherewith he was girded. Then coming, he just...
It is amazing. I will be amazed to see the Lord coming and washing our feet. 12 apostles. All of them got 10 toes. Is that right? 12 times 10 is what?
120.
120 dirty toes. King of Kings, down on his knees. Why? We was at our brother retreat, and brother... Clarence Former, he went in the back. I thought Clarence was crazy, but I still think he's crazy. I seen Clarence come out with a towel and I had taught servanthood leadership, and we used John 13. So here come Clarence. Everybody was looking. Everybody was kind of like, really, you going to do that? Brother Brooks was sitting at the front. I'm giving a presentation. Here come Clarence with a bucket of water and a towel, and he took my shoes. I'll tell y'all something. Go sit down. I didn't want him to do it. It didn't feel right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I ain't never had a man washing my feet. Never been showering. I'd have been all right. But I was like, man, you know, this don't look right. I ain't got no sugar. I mean, I ain't nothing like that. Now, I had a man shine my shoes, but he don't take them off. Clarence took my shoes off, and I think all the brothers was shocked. Well, I mean, your brother was shocked, too. I was like, really? But that water felt good, Clarence. It really did, man. And after a while, I kind of relaxed. I don't clean them up, baby. You know, I thought, I said, shoot, this is pretty nice here, man. Clean that other one up, man, right there in between that big toe. But there was the custom for them was they knew that was common. But what it wasn't common was for them, the master of the house, to wash the feet. Amen. What was common was the slave of the house would wash the dirty feet, not the master. In their case, the master is washing feet. They tripping, as we'd say in 21st century. What'd they say, Kai, in y'all world? They say what? They tripping? They still you tripping? They did that in the sadness. They being played, ain't they? That what he say? Come on, y'all gonna help me along. I'm trying to get rid of a young adult lecture. What happened when they mind ain't right? What y'all say, DJ? They throwed off. These type of the throw, man, they don't know what's going on. Watch Peter's reaction.
Then come and
because
Simon Peter
understands the custom. I'm gonna close the lesson. Then comes Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord,
does thou wash my feet?
Now you gotta see Peter. Peter tripping. Peter said, Lord, you washing my feet? And then what he say?
Jesus answered and said unto him,
Jesus responds,
What I do? Thou knowest not
you
now.
You ain't understanding what I'm doing.
But thou shalt know hereafter.
He didn't. But he said, you're going to know later. Watch Peter.
Peter said unto him.
Said, Peter going to be adamant about it. Peter said to him,
thou shalt never wash my
feet.
You
ain't washing my feet. That's off the table. Right? You ain't going to. And I see Peter. I know Peter said, Lord, look here. If anybody going to wash feet, it's going to be me. It ain't going to be you. You know, he's going to say, I'm not going to let you do that. I would have been the same way, wouldn't you? You know?
Amen.
Yeah, I would have been saying somebody you respected and you admired and they trying to do something lowly and dirty like that. I said, oh, no, let me do that, Lord. Let me take the dirt. Let me take the low spot. Then what the Lord said to him?
Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not.
Now, Jesus said, I tell you what, if I don't do this, Peter, what?
Thou hast no part with me.
You can't have no fellowship with me, no part with me. Read.
Simon Peter went unto him.
Peter went to him.
Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
You'll be all right, ain't you? Look here. Man, when you see the power of this message, you can't help but start thinking, oh, my God. Let me tell y'all something. Jesus said this. Peter, if I don't do this, you'll have no part of the ministry. You won't be saved. The application for us is this. Until we get washed, you're not going to be saved.
Amen.
What are you saying, brother? I'm suggesting baptism. And I'm not talking about baptism clean dirt. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure where to baptism also does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. My head is right. Baptism is where all your sins are forgiven. Acts 2:38. At baptism where you're washed in the blood. He's using a physical to teach a spiritual. And he's teaching them. He said, now, if you don't do this, then you're not going to be part of me. You're not going to be in the ministry. Notice what he says. I got to close. But Peter says he had a change of heart. Peter says, oh, that's the case. Lord, not my feet only. Notice what he said. But what? My hands, my feet, everything. Peter, get the point. Okay, if it's that important to you, man, I don't want you to stop with the feet. Peter said, go on up to the hands and wash my hair, everything, because that's how bad I want to be. And what that says to me, it seems to me that this should be the mindset of the people of the world when it comes to baptism. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. If Jesus said it, wash all of me. Wash, take me, don't leave no toe sticking up. Bury me all the way under the water. Amen. I don't want no little finger nose or nothing to come on top. If Jesus said, bury, don't just bury my feet. Put me all the way under there. I ain't got no time to question. He said, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. You got folk out there that are questioning baptism, and you got preachers that say, you don't have to be, even though Jesus said you did. I wouldn't be in a church where anyone contradicts Jesus. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. He's saying, Brother Bruce, understand the cleansing process. Baptism is not a bath. No more was he washing their feet because they were dirty. He was washing their feet to give them an example. Notice this in verse 12 through 15. Let's get this closed.
So after he had washed their feet,
he took his garments
and had taken his garments
and sat down again with them.
He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you?
You call me who?
Master and Lord.
Anyway.
And you say, well,
so
for
am
so
I
am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet,
you ought to what?
Wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you.
What he did, he gave an example, not a command. Some folks, there ain't no command to wash feet today. That was a custom of the Jews. That's not a command for us. We don't have to wash no feet. What he's doing is giving them an example. That when you become a follower of Christ, the greatest is the kingdom and nothing but a slave. Amen. And when you got good leaders, they got to understand one thing in order to get to be a leader in the Lord's church. You're a servant, brother.
Amen.
You're a slave. You take the lowest position. Amen, Walls.
Amen.
And that's what's wrong with hierarchy and big chairs and robes and all this reverend and doctors and all that stuff that elevates that. Jesus said, I left a different example. If anybody should have been called doctor, it should have been Jesus. I'm talking about in the church. I'm not talking about on the college campus. That's if you got a doctorate degree, God bless you with the doctorate degree. And we'll acknowledge you doctor in the classroom. But in the pulpit of the King of Kings, you a brother. I know some of them listening. I know. I'm not real popular in the Church of Christ preachers here because I don't go along with the stuff. Just like I don't get on Facebook and go back. I don't fellowship them. I don't go back and forth like they my friends. The stuff is false.
Amen.
False doctrine.
Amen.
And we shouldn't be doing it. Calling themselves senior pastors and all that nowadays. Might well call yourself reverend then. Don't preach against it. Stop saying we speak what the Bible speaks, and we silent when the Bible is silent. If we speak what the Bible speaks, Jesus said, call no man father on this earth. We all brother. That's speaking what the Bible speaks.
Amen.
Preach, Brother Brooks. I am. Jesus was teaching that we are all servants, y'all. Every one of us, from the pulpit to the back door. Brother Brooks is a servant just like everybody else. This man is a servant. He's a slave. I'm a slave. We serving a master. And he said, y'all figure this out. I'm just Lord and Master. You so say you right. I am. That's who I am. But I left you an example that I didn't serve you like the master. I served you like the slave. Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you. Verse 5, get this for me. I'm closing now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the book says what? Let this mind be in you, which is also in who?
Christ
Jesus. Which you got what?
Who being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be
God,
equal with God.
He didn't think nothing was taken from him being what?
Robbery equal.
Equal with God. Read.
But made himself of
he
no
made
reputation.
Made himself of no reputation.
And took upon him
took
the
upon
form
him
of a servant.
The form of a what?
Servant.
Servant. Watch how he did it.
And was made in the likeness of men.
He was made in the likeness what?
Of men.
Of men.
And being found in fashion as a man.
Being found in fashion of a man.
He humbled himself.
Watch the humility. That's what it took to get down and wash feet. The humbleness. The humility what he was teaching. The example was that all of us got to have humility. To be in the Lord's kingdom. He got down. He said, now he said, here's how I showed it. The ultimate was he humbled himself unto death.
And became obedient unto death.
He became obedient unto death. Not just death.
Even the death of
the
cross.
The death of the cross. The most humiliating. The one where they hang you on a hill, naked. When people are looking at you, they mock you. They hung the Son of God. They gave him the nails in the hand and the feet. He would hang himself. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he humbled himself. He stayed on the cross. They spit in his face. He didn't spit back. They slapped him. They kicked him. They hit him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He took it. And some of us can't take a member of the church saying something wrong to us. Some of us get all thrown off and leave the Lord over something somebody said in the church. After you learn this, he said, let this mind be in you.
Amen.
The example I gave was the mind of a servant. He served us on the cross. That's what he did, Church of Christ. That's why we don't leave the doctrine. He gave his life. He served us. He served the world.
He said, if I get lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. On that cross, he purchased his bride, the church of Christ. The Bible said in Acts 20:28. Amen. Somebody take heed, therefore, in yourself, O the flock with the Holy Ghost that made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That blood purchased the church. And not only that, when he took him, they pierced him in his side. John 19:34. Out came blood and water. And that blood, according to Revelation 1:5, will wash away your sins. Jesus said, go preach it to him. Go tell him what I did. Show him the cross, Brooks. He that believe it, and he'll baptize, shall be, not might be, saved. But he that believe it not, shall be damned. There is no way you can get to heaven dirty. You got to get washed. And Jesus said, I left y'all an example. The lowest people will be those who obey God. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I don't know about y'all. How many of y'all want to be a Christian? Amen. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. How do you become a Christian, Brother Bruce? By hearing the gospel, that story, a cross story that I just talked about, how he suffered, bled, and died. How he humbled himself. Believe that with all of your heart. Hebrews 11:6, Acts 15 and verse 7. You hear the word of the gospel and believe. Repent of your sin. You got to say, Brother Brooks, I don't like all that stuff you said about what people are not doing. I know that, but it ain't everybody ain't going to stand on their judgment with you. It ain't going to be nobody there to defend you, none of your pastors, none of your reverends, none of them. Ain't nobody going to, everybody got to stand for their own, on their own two feet, as they'd say. You have to answer God. And one thing I took from you is saying you didn't know, because I told you. That's been my quest for 34 years. If you come in front of me, I'm going to tell you. Amen, somebody. If you stay in my class, I'm going to tell you again. I owe that to you. But you got to believe it. You got to repent. You got to do like Judas. You got to do like Peter. Say, man, okay, I changed my mind. If that's the case, wash all of me. You got to confess Jesus be the Son of God before me in Matthew 10:32, Acts 8:37. The man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. After that, you got to be baptized as commanded by our Lord. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got to get baptized. You got to get dipped. You got to get buried in watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Romans 6:3, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26, Acts 22:16. It's so many at 1 Peter 3:21, baptism saves us. And you don't be baptized, Lord have mercy, what you thinking? Somebody need to be baptized this morning. Amen. If they want to be a Christian, you're going to have to be baptized. That's what the master said. And what you do, you got to lower yourself now. You got to humble yourself and become a slave to our master. He left us. And what?
An example.
Example. That's the example he left us. That humility will get you to heaven, not pride. Humility. Lower yourself. Now, here's the thing. If you're a member of the Lord's church, then understand the sixth step in plan of salvation is that you got to be faithful. In other words, you got to be faithful in your relationship to God. Not to me. You got to be faithful in your relationship to your master. Slaves had to be faithful to their master. They served their master. They obeyed their master. And we're servants, slaves, that have to obey our master. And our master showed us that he could obey. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. He learned obedience himself. He obeyed God, his father in the garden. He obeyed him on the cross. And so he wants you to obey him. If you want to come, I want you to come. Come on up here. I want you to come. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I think the song is. If you want to be a Christian, I want you to come to the front. Now, as soon as you stand up, just walk to the front. I'm going to ask y'all, please no walking to the back doing the invitation. That's God's call to people. Amen. Give them that. Let the people come to the Lord. Don't interrupt the invitation. That's disruptive. Be walking, doing the invitation song. That's just a shame, too. You've been so saved that you ain't worried about nobody else. You ought to be praying these folk will come. That's what you do. Pray they going to come. Pray with her, sing with her. Because you had to walk one day. And if somebody by you, they want to come, say, I'll go with you. Let me know. I want to go with you. You come on down here with her. And if you're a member of the church, it ain't nothing wrong with saying I've sinned. I repent of my sin. I'm coming home. I say nothing wrong with that. You ought to come. Jesus left yourself. Humble yourself. Walk down. Get your right life right with God. Lord, I want to be a Christian.